and welcome to Being Mindful. I'm Lillian Larty, and I'm joined in the studio today with my wonderful co-host, the one and only, yes, you guessed, Pastor DJ Ayurendi. Being Mindful is our regular broadcast that explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, careers, and much, much more. If you are a regular listener to Being Mindful, then you know we also like to deal with other relevant and current issues. If you're joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, welcome. And you will find out that as we discuss topics surrounding various issues that concern us, you know, we want to hear from you as well, you know, so it's not just a monologue, but it's a dialogue as well. As always during the show, please do get in touch with us, and the easiest way to do that is using the PHBC radio app. Just tap on the link to contact the studio and we'll get the message, and we'll read your message out from there. So we'd love to hear from you, and give us your questions, comments, contributions. They're all welcome. And if you're listening to us on social media, you can also contact us directly using the handle at PHBC London, where you can do so on Twitter, or is it X? On Instagram and on Facebook. And again, any message that you send us will come directly to us here in the studio, and we will respond appropriately. So that said, let's get to it. As usual, in our normal fashion, we like to touch base with each other and find out what is on each other's mind. So, Pastor Digi, starting with your wonderful self, what is on your mind?
What's on my mind? Oh, Lillian. I've had a very, very full day.
Oh.
Very busy day.
Uh-huh.
But and I'm really grateful for that. Well, fulfilling day, because I feel like I've achieved a lot. I've done, you know, you have those days where you're just in the flow. Mm-hmm. You're just like, go, 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 mm-hmm. you know. And today feels very much like that for me.
Mm.
However, and this is where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
In the background
mm-hmm.
is this stuff going on across the river, across the pond in the United States of America. Where everything seems to have been turned on its head.
Uh-huh.
And you know, let's call it what it is. There's that old saying, they say, if America sneezes, the world mm-hmm. catches a cold.
Yes.
And so us, there's no point sticking our heads in the sand and saying, oh, I don't care about all of that stuff, because everything. We're in a global village where mm-hmm. we're connected to one another, and it will touch us. It will affect us. It will in one way or another. So, hey, obviously I'm not American. I have no, it's not that serious for me, but in some regards, I'm glad that, you know, Grandpa Joe.
Oh gosh, is that what they've been calling
him? Well, it's what I call him, you know, Grandpa Joe has decided to, just hang it up now, you know.
Oh, I'm so glad.
I'm glad. I mean, I think in many respects he means well, he wants to do well, his heart is in the right place, but his limits.
Yeah, his body is just showing that, you know what.
I'm not certain. I am not convinced that America is ready for a female president.
Exactly.
I am not convinced of that, number one. And number two, that bullet, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, you know, when he got shot, I was just like, right, that's it. Trump's won. Trump's won.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause he will play that sympathy card. He will play the
Isn't
look,
he?
You know, I was just trying to do well, guys, give me a chance, you know.
He's playing it to.
Yeah, he's milking it. I mean, people are walking around with bandages on their ears.
No.
Yes.
Oh, please.
Republican National Convention,
uh-huh.
day one, he came in with a bandaged ear.
Uh-huh.
Day two, there were hundreds of them sitting in the audience that had a bandaged ear.
What for?
In solidarity.
His people there. Oh my goodness. I tell you, they take politics on another level.
I mean, that's just that's another level of silly, in my opinion.
Please.
And so people are walking around with a bandaged ear.
You watch. I'm sure it will soon catch on here.
Yeah, probably. probably there are quite a few people, even in this country, that I know would, they want to see him back in power. They absolutely believe in what he can bring. And, you know, I think he's a divisive figure. I always liked his tenacity. Mm-hmm. I always liked his go-getter. You know, you don't have to agree with Trump to like aspects of Trump, if you understand what I mean. Yeah. So, So that's what's on my mind. That's what I've been thinking about. Obviously, the news outlets are buzzing. They're on fire. I mean, there was a lady this morning who was being interviewed, an American lady, a Democrat, who was being interviewed on BBC News. And she said something along the lines of, you know, this is really unprecedented. And in some regards, I'm getting tired of saying these are unprecedented times, but it seems like everything's unprecedented at the moment. You know, there's so much the use of that phrase.
Yeah.
You know, it's unprecedented. Mm. Everything's unprecedented. Mm. It's unprecedented. These are unprecedented times in an unprecedented move. Yeah. So that's what's been banging around on my mind. What about you?
Okay.
What's on your mind?
Well, before I go on to what's on my mind, I just want to touch on what you said about liking Trump's tenacity. Mm. I mean, I did like him when he was doing The Apprentice.
Yes.
Really, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
But then when he became president, it was just like, oh, please.
Well, he started to believe his own hype. It's the whole Boris Johnson thing, where you think, you know, yeah, I am all that in the bag of chips. And I think that was that's a dangerous thing, for a dangerous place for any leader to be.
Mm-hmm.
We see it in many countries across the world. We see it in Africa, the Middle East, Asia, you know, and a couple of European countries.
Mm-hmm.
We see leaders that have that personality who are autocrats in many regards, you know, who have ultimate power.
Mm.
And someone like Trump would love ultimate power.
Mm.
He fancies himself as a modern day emperor of the United States of America.
Mm.
And many people are saying, you know what, give him a chance. Let's do it. It's different. Let's do it.
Oh, please. He's done it once before. So,
I think he's going to go back in.
I think so.
I do think he's going to get back in.
I've heard prophecies, not now, but previously,
that
he was going to do
back,
a second term.
Yeah. So. I do think so. I genuinely think he's coming back in, particularly with the whole Joe Biden, Kamala Harris thing. And the United States is not ready for not just a woman, a black woman.
Exactly.
So it's a double, it's a double negative. Really.
But hey ho. Mm-hmm. So what's on my mind? What's on my mind is the Olympics are starting this week.
Mm-hmm.
So Paris. They're in Paris.
Just around the corner.
Yes. And just across the channel, we could swim. And listeners, you never know. We might be doing Being Mindful radio show from Paris. So keep your ears peeled.
Mm.
Pastor is not looking impressed. But
no,
anyway,
he's not.
So, yeah, you never know. So, the Olympics. Are you a fan of the Olympics, Pastor?
I actually am.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I participated in a number of sports as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And so a number of them still hold dear to me. Obviously, there's the usual favorites, athletics.
Yeah.
But I do watch judo.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
uh-huh.
I like seeing, you know, top flight judo,
uh-huh.
Which is amazing. You're just thinking, wow, how did you pull that move? You know, yes, I do like watching judo.
Well, apparently what's coming to the Olympics is kiting.
What?
Yes, kiting, water kiting. So that apparently it's an Olympic sport now, and there are so many other sports.
Breakdancing is a sport.
Is that coming? Olympic,
yes, yes.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was going to say there are so many others that are coming that you wouldn't think that, you know.
I mean, we need to form a sport, me and you. And then we'll copyright it, put a logo on it, and have our own sporting association.
Yes.
Get people to, I don't know, what would the sport be? Laughing.
Yeah.
You'd be good at that.
Yes. Okay.
You're a Team GB captain straight away.
Laughing. What else can we call it? Laughing what? I don't know. Laughing something. be laughing something.
I mean, breakdancing is not prefixed or suffixed, so just call it laughing. Okay, they'll accept
laughing.
It.
Laughing.
At this rate.
Shall we go for it, listeners? Let us know. But yes, I'm looking forward to the Olympics, and you said that you like watching judo. I like watching fencing, actually.
Now, fencing is one. Mm-hmm. Have you ever fenced?
I haven't, no, but I would like to.
I did
try
as a
it.
Child, uh-huh. And so I get it. I understand uh-huh. the scoring system, and it's amazing. Uh-huh. It's for me, I think it's such a. I mean, there's a guy that I was in school with who's actually a professional fencer now.
Wow.
Yeah. He, you know, whenever he posts stuff on, interestingly, two guys I was in school. One he's a judo. What's the word? Adjudicator. Mm-hmm. So he does professional, you know, tournaments all over the world, mm-hmm. and he's in Paris right now. The other guy who's a fencer is in Paris right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Fencing. I just find it fascinating, you know, the skill that's involved in it. And you can see the strength as well, you know.
Yes.
And I'm the type of person, because I work with the human body, you know, I can kind of tell of the muscles that they're using, they're engaging, and the work that had gone into, you know, for them to show up how they're showing up.
Well, it's the athleticism and the reflexes.
Yeah.
You know, some of it is really measured and controlled, and then bam, 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 you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to, because it's mental and physical agility.
Yes.
So that's what I like about fencing.
If you'd asked me to guess, I would not have gone there. I wouldn't have gone there. I mean, I would have said athletics. Oh. I would have said, what else could I have said? Maybe even synchronized swimming.
Yeah, swimming.
You like that one?
I like swimming, yes. And I like the athletics. Synchronized swimming, not so much now. When I was younger, mm-hmm. yes.
Yes.
Gymnastics, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But synchronized swimming, for me, is... For me, it's a scientific marvel.
Mm.
I mean, you're not just you're upside down in water.
Yeah.
How?
Pasta, can you swim?
Now.
Oh, here we go.
Depends on what you mean by swimming. If you throw me into a swimming pool, I'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
No matter how big, wide, deep, I'll be fine. Okay. So I can do a breath, I can do a length,
okay.
and get myself out of trouble.
Okay.
If I fall off a boat, uh-huh. find a calendar, book the date. Forget it.
Yeah. Okay, so it's understanding, like you're saying, the science of working against gravity and inertia. Mm-hmm. In the water. When I learned, because I'm an aqua teacher.
Oh my goodness.
And for those of you who don't know what an aqua teacher is, it's a type of exercise in the water. And you have to learn about inertia and gravity, how it works, as opposed to being on land. As we know, it's two totally different yes. things. So there's a way where the, like you saw, the synchronized swimmers are able to stay upside down for a while, and balance and use movement, mm-hmm, actually mm-hmm. use the water to work for them rather than work against them.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's fascinating.
It's phenomenal. I saw something the other day, and the pool had a glass side,
uh-huh.
so you could actually see what they were doing under the water. And I was just like, no. Also, the sound doesn't. How are you hearing this music? How are you coordinating, pinpoint on the beat accuracies?
I know.
Phenomenal.
Yes,
it's just phenomenal. I'm very, very impressed by synchronized swimmers.
So, yeah, so that's what's on our minds. Listeners, what is on your mind? Do let us know. Again, get in touch with us using the app PHBC London handle if you're on social media, or go to the PHBC Radio app and contact us and let us know what is on your mind. Okay, so last week we started...
last time, really.
Oh, yeah, sorry, 2 weeks ago, sorry. Time is just flying by. Mm-hmm. So the last time we were on the radio, we were talking about... the New Age movement. Should Christians seek mediums, psychics, tarot card readers, and the horoscope about their life and future? So we started by talking about, you know, if either of us had experienced any of, you know, these New Age tools, and if we did, you know, what our experience was on that. We're not going to go into that now. So please do listen to the last show.
Yes, which you can find on the PHBC Radio app.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we shared our experiences, and we also discussed what is a medium, what is a psychic, and who is a tarot reader, what is a fortune teller, and what is a horoscope, you know, the word horror, anyway, horoscope. And the definitions that we came up with and what we found was, with the New Age movement, it's all about using a collection of unconventional spiritual and therapeutic practices, which apparently is influenced by Buddhism, Taoism, psychology, paganism, and what we would call either the personal development or self-development movement. It involves various spiritual beliefs and practices. Mm-hmm. So out of that, you know, one can be misled as to thinking, oh, this is okay.
Exactly.
And deceived as well. But when it comes to certain, I don't know what you would call them, models, such as mediums, who, you know, their main job is to seek out spirits of the dead, you know, and to contact them. And like a psychic is someone who's sensitive to the influences of supernatural natures, and they use it as their job to let you know that, say, for example, oh, you know, your dead relative that died such and such a time, they're next to you.
Yes, yes, yes. You know? And one of the things that we were, if you remember from last week, one of the things I was saying is, you know, particularly as a Christian, if you're thinking, oh, you know, my dead grandpa, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. is in heaven, mm-hmm. and he's here in the room with me. Hold on. If granddad's in the room with you, granddad never made it to heaven.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Granddad's not with you. Uh-huh. If he's in heaven, he's not with you. If he's with you, he's not in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Only God can be in multiple places.
Mm-hmm.
Even Satan is not omnipresent.
No.
And your granddad certainly isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be very clear, mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
You know, so go on though, as you were saying.
Yeah. And then tarot cards, you know, we were explaining about, you know, I mean, it's described as tarot being a set of 22 playing cards. Playing cards. Mm.
And I think that's the issue, isn't it? You normalize it. Yeah, yeah. It's just a playing card. Mm. It's just almost like a game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just for fun. And if you're not aware, you know, again, you'll be getting yourselves involved in spiritual things that are not of God.
Yeah.
And then fortune telling, you know, how many people are desperate to know about their future and, you know, what's in store for them in terms of their fortune. And then the horoscopes, which Pastor and I discussed at length last time in part one, you know, about the zodiac signs, you know, are you a crab? Are you a goat? Are you a air sign? Are you a water sign or whatever sign?
Somebody said, person A, and I'm going to use this forever.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said to person A, said to person B, what's your zodiac sign? And the person B said, dinosaur. to which person A said, but that doesn't exist. To which person B answered, none of them exist.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I'll remember that.
I was just like, yep, that's my go-to right now.
Yes.
Because I can't specifically remember, but someone says to me, what's your star sign, your zodiac sign, mm-hmm. your horoscope sign?
Mm-hmm.
Dinosaur. Dinosaur? That's not real. Neither are the others. You know.
Yeah, so that's what we were discussing in part one. So we are now on part two.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll speak more about that when we come back after a musical break.
Yeah, let's do this. You know, this song You know, and again, thinking about the theme of what we're talking about here, and as Christians, we live in the dispensation of grace, and grace, you know, brings us into a space and place of liberty. And this song, it's actually a gospel anthem, and it celebrates freedom and the journey of being released, you know, through our faith. It features the singer Anatoria. And she's on this track that is put together by the Afro-pop gospel artist Lima Blaze. And the track is called Freedom.
Dusted off my feet, I can see Janaka. You erase the matter. What is this part of me overstressing? No need to fight. I realized Jangoronga, trust in my Agadigba. Cause it's no easy if I try it, didn't nigga. And I don't wanna fall back.
What a track, what a banging track. It's a great track for a workout. It's a great track first thing in the morning, even last thing at night. You know, just in that point,
that's
you just want to...
That's a great track for Fit Temple.
It's a great track for Fit Temple.
Mm-hmm. So Fit Temple part two, that will be part of the playlist.
Indeed. It's a great track. So that was Lima Blaze with Anatoria and the track Freedom. If you're joining us, you're listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio, where we discuss issues relating to our quality of life as Christians. Today's topic, we're talking about tarot, the New Age movement, horoscopes, you know, fortune telling and the like. Mm-hmm. This is part two. We had a part one show already, which you can find on the PHBC Radio app. So what do you think? What are your thoughts? Have you ever used a horoscope, tarot? What do you believe? What are your thoughts on these things? We'd love to hear from you as we journey through the discussion today. Do please get in touch with us. You can just tap on the button that says contact the studio and your message will come directly to us here. Alternatively, you can send us a message directly using any of our social media handles. And those are using PHBC London.
Mm-hmm.
And you can send us a direct message, which we will also pick up as well. So let's get to it.
Yes. However, before we go into part, well, we're in part two.
Yes.
But there was something that we didn't touch on last time.
Okay.
Which I think is important to touch on, because, you know, maybe what we've listed, you're probably thinking, well, you know what? I don't do those things.
Yeah.
I've never been to see psychic, tarot reader. No. I don't even know what you're talking about. Fortune teller. Horoscope. Yeah. What? Yeah. Medium. But there are certain cultures.
Okay.
Where we do, where there tends to be a practice that can be seen as New Age.
Yeah.
Okay. Or it can be seen as something that's traditional. You know, some type of traditional spirituality
thing. Yes,
Such as, for example, pouring libation.
Oh, gosh. Certainly within Nigerian culture, that's a thing.
Ghanaian as
because
well.
Because it's really, it's again, it's something that's speaking to the ancestors.
Yes.
You know, you're giving the forefathers a drink.
Yeah.
And even some Caribbean cultures do that.
I was going to say, there's rituals that, which I know is practiced in some Caribbean islands, like, you know, like you say, in order to connect with the ancestors or connect with the ancestors of the land, there are certain rituals that you do.
Yes.
Like going into the sea, bathing in the water. And some people, they do some type of rituals that when they fly to certain places, you know, to make sure that they're safe and they have safe travels, that they do certain rituals to contact the ancestors, get permission from the ancestors of the land, that they're allowed in that land.
Gosh.
You know, and all of that, you know, it all falls under the same banner of, you know, this is not of God.
It is not. And I think sometimes, and I want to just touch on this very, very briefly, and then we can move on, is that sometimes, you know, you talked about traditional. I think certainly within cultures, within Black culture, there's this sense of we want to reconnect with who we always were, who our ancestors were. We don't want to lose a sense of our Blackness and our history and our heritage. And I think in many regards, that's very good and very noble, but we have to be truthful in recognizing that a lot of our ancestors were pagan worshippers. A lot of our ancestors worshipped false gods, and so some of those traditions, some of those practices, there are certain aspects within our culture that are in keeping with the worship of false gods, and it's important that we make that distinction and not just go naively into all and sundry and go, well, you know, my ancestors did this, and this is what makes me a Black person, or makes me an African. It is important we make that distinction through discernment and through just a little bit of study and understanding what's going on.
And questioning as well.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Just because you've always done something, you know, especially as Christians, you know, question it.
Yes.
So should Christians seek the services of such, you know, people like we've mentioned, the astrologers, the magicians, and, you know, like all of a sudden, you know, magic has become fashionable, quote unquote, on shows, you know, and it's quite impressionable on our young children. And it's seen, again, it's seen as playing, as fun, you know, astrology. Can be mixed up with, you know, stargazing, and, you know, I mean, I've heard it said that, you know, if you want to study, I hope I get this right, astrology, the studying of the stars and the planets, does that mean that I'm studying, you know, horoscopes and zodiacs? But no, that's two different things. You know, you're not using the stars and the planets to worship, you know. So there's got to be you've got to make sure that there's, you know, the distinction, if I'm making sense.
Absolutely. I mean, I think also in a similar way, when you look at things like tarots, you know, earlier on you talk about the tarot cards being a series of playing cards. You look at things like tarots, some of the imagery within tarot, some of those imageries feature in psychology.
Yeah.
You know, there is a crossover, there is a synergy within within how those images are depicted and the meanings within or from those images, the meanings we gain and the meanings we get from those imagery, that imagery. Mm. And so because of that, what that then does, you know, we say, okay, someone like Jung, who was a very, very well-known proponent of certain streams of psychology, he brought in Jungism, he brought some of that imagery, you know, into psychology and in some regards normalized it, you know, minimizing, saying, oh, well, you know, I know some people count it as spiritual, but don't worry about that. Just do it anyway or see it this way anyway. And I think it's these things where we start to see horoscopes as simply a tool. Mm-hmm. We see tarot reading as simply a tool. These are the psychological tools. Mm. And it's such a dangerous place to be, you know, and it's a means of normalizing, as I said, what these things are.
Yeah. So what's our positions as Christians? Well, let's look into scripture, because as we know, there are various kings in the Bible who sought advice.
Yes.
But they sought advice from these soothsayers, these magicians, the witches, the sorcerers, the diviners, you know, especially when it seemed like God was not speaking to them.
Yeah.
When it seemed that God was silent, and they just, you know, decided, well, you know what, I'm not hearing from God, so let me get on and and seek my own help, or, you know, find my own answers. So one prominent character who fell into this trap was Saul. If we look in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6 to 12, and I'm going to paraphrase here, because it was around the time when, Pastor, you know this, whilst I'm looking it up, can you paraphrase
that? I am not helping you. You open that door, I'm just standing here watching you walk.
You see this, listeners, you see this. I need help because I don't have my Bible open. And Pastor's just standing, he's just sitting here, just looking.
Yeah, I'm here, I'm listening.
He's just looking at me.
Anyway, I know you're going to talk about David and the stuff.
Help
that
me.
David, yeah,
help
yeah.
me, listeners.
You're going to talk about David and the stuff that Saul. Yeah, not David. Yes. Saul. Yeah, and Saul. Every king, everybody in leadership has people around them that will give them counsel, give them advice.
Yeah,
and don't forget, Saul was the first king.
Mm-hmm.
And so he pulled in, again, as we're talking about traditional, you know, cultural. He just pulled in all and sundry to give him counsel.
Yes. So, so it says here that Saul inquired of the Lord, and the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim, whatever that is, or the prophets. So, you know, remember, this is the Old Testament. So in those days, this is how the Lord would speak to the kings. So in verse 7, it says, then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium. Wow. That I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know that Saul has used... Look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists. Now, going back, you will read further back in the book of 1 Samuel, there was a time where Saul just said, no, you know, no spiritists, no mediums were to practice.
Yeah,
if they're found to be practiced, they'll be killed, basically.
Absolutely.
You know, and now look at what he's doing, you know. So the woman's like, you know, defending herself and, you know, saying, why are you trying to trap me?
Yes.
And then Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. So the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out in a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, "Why have you deceived me? For you are Saul." Yet she's a medium. Yes. So why did she not even know that this was Saul?
Absolutely, absolutely. Hmm? Until she went and dabbled.
Exactly.
And then she realized, whoa, this is above my pay grade.
So, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, some of them are just...
I mean, the truth of it is this, and I think it's important to also stress.
Mm.
These things, let me say this, and I'm going to, and this might sound a bit controversial,
uh-huh.
but these things actually work.
Pastor Deji.
Yeah, hold on.
Uh-uh.
They work, yes.
Uh-uh. So what are you saying?
No. I said they work. In the same way, Satan took Jesus, took him to the top of the mountain, says, "Worship me, mm-hmm. and I will grant you your prayers.
Uh-huh.
I can bless you. I will bless you with all of this. Just uh-huh. as God can bless, Satan can also bless."
Mm-hmm.
Aha. So when I say they work, it doesn't mean they are from God.
Mm-hmm.
They can work to a degree,
mm-hmm.
in a way, mm-hmm. to a point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's, let me read this. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy that says, if a prophet, someone who foretells by dreams, appears to you and produces a sign, produces a wonder, and if the sign or wonder takes place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this prophet is leading you to follow gods you have not known, you must not listen to that person.
Mm.
You must not listen. You must follow the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. It's the Lord your God you must follow. Him you must revere, keep his commandments, obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him. You know, and obviously it talks about how that prophet will then be put to death for trying to take you away from God.
Mm.
But again, the scripture says, if it works,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think sometimes we have this, and what Satan, it's the whole Garden of Eden thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we, the Christians, sometimes ignorantly say, "Oh yeah, that's rubbish. It's rubbish. It doesn't work." And then the naive, innocent Christian who's really, really curious goes down that rabbit hole, mm-hmm. and something works for them, and they go, "Whoa, it works. That means it must be okay."
Mm-hmm.
Saints, it works, but it's not of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there are ways to get money.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and get a job. You can start a business.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go and rob and steal.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get money. It works. If mm-hmm. you're trying to get money, it will work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it's going to end well.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said that, because there are consequences to what happened with Saul.
Yes.
In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, it reads, "So Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance."
Exactly. Exactly. And I think this is what we always forget. We forget that it doesn't end well.
Yes, there are consequences, you know. So you have to, you know, even though, you know, you might say, "Oh yeah, but, you know, I know my work colleague, you know, always comes in and says that they, you know, they went and saw the medium at the weekend and this came true and that came true." And, you know, and here I am, say, for example, I'm single and I'm believing God for a husband, and you know.
And my work colleague, the medium, said, "You're going to meet someone tall, dark, and handsome." Mm-hmm. And then when they went to Morocco, the guy was tall and he was dark and he was handsome.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know.
It must be him, you know. And you're more likely to believe that, and you think, "Oh, then you know, this is of God. Oh, I'll go and pray." You know, and we do a quick prayer. Flash prayer, and then think that, "Oh, it must be of God. You know, this must all be of God." But no, saints, please, let's be discerning about what the word says. Okay.
Wow.
Hmm.
You know, somebody, No, we'll do this. Let's take a break. Let's take a short break, short music break. Because let me throw it in. No, I'm going to just throw it in now. Because when we come back after the break, we'll move on to something else.
Okay.
Which is that, you know, I was talking with somebody recently, and this person went and messed up. Really, it was a bad situation, messed up, got involved with someone, and they did stuff they shouldn't have done.
Mm.
And I said to the person, "Why would you even think of going there in the first place?" And the response was, "Yeah, but I prayed about it." You know, but I prayed about it. And I said, hold on.
Well, pray that he or she didn't get caught.
You prayed about It was one of those, I prayed about going, and I really felt God say it was okay for me to go. And then when I went, one thing led to another and other things happened. I said, the God, in quotes, that told you to go, if it was Jehovah that told you to go, are you telling me he didn't see that danger ahead and he would have told you to go? Is that what you're trying to tell me? I said, trust me, Jehovah didn't answer that prayer. And it's really important sometimes we shoehorn God into our desires. We shoehorn Jehovah into what we want, the stuff that makes us feel good.
Yeah.
And we say, God said it. But let's take a piece of music now. Let's have a quick music break. This is it's a very well-known song. And I just realized the correlation between the two songs, because this one's also talking about liberty. Former reggae artist, now a gospel reggae artist. It's Terry Lennon with No Longer a Slave.
I am a child of God. Yeah.
a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Lillian, man, why are you laughing?
Because
laughing, Lillian.
You don't know, listeners. You don't know what goes on sometimes when we have the music. Yeah, one day we'll have the video, and then you see how Pastor beats me up.
If I beat you, it is with all the love of Jesus.
Well, I now have a witness in the studio.
If I'm beating you, it is because Jesus compels me to do so. Yeah, it's with the love of Jesus, all the love of Jesus.
Mm.
So that was Terry Lennon with No Longer a Slave.
Uh-huh.
I trust that was enjoyable. Again, speaking to our liberty in Christ, we've had a comment. Come through, yeah.
Oh.
And it says, thank you for part two of the show. What advice would you give to Christians who find themselves in the space where these practices are common or expected? So, for example, holistic centers, counseling that wants to use meditation and yoga, etc. What counsel would we give to Christians who find themselves in that sort of space?
That's a very, very good comment and question, because that moves us nicely onto
exactly.
the book of Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Because Daniel, as we know, he served the Lord, and he was amongst the, not only was he amongst the magicians and the astrologers and the soothsayers, but after he had interpreted the dream for then the king, Nebuchadnezzar,
because
there was two of them, wasn't there?
Correct.
Yeah. The first one, you know, he was then made the head in, if you look in the book of Daniel chapter 2, 27, Daniel 4, 7, Daniel 5, 7 to 11, and Daniel chapter 2 verse 48, Daniel was made in charge of them all.
Yes.
Yeah. And correct. These, the soothsayers, the magicians and astrologers were known as wise men.
Yeah.
But there was only one wise man amongst them, and that was Daniel, because it was the Lord that worked through him. So I would say, as a Christian, which, you know, in this case, let's say in Daniel's time he was, yeah, but he knew to worship the Lord. You know, I mean, there was the point where he was actually thrown into the lion's den.
Yes.
Because he was worshiping God.
Absolutely.
So it's about you as a Christian representing Christ, being the ambassador of Christ when you go into those places, as long as the Lord has set you there.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, and I think that's a key.
Very key,
yeah.
Because we're not advocating you to, you know, if the Lord hasn't told you to go into certain, don't go into certain places where they practice all of this and then start handing out tracts and things like that, because the Lord hasn't sent you there.
Yes,
you'll get yourself into trouble.
Absolutely. It reminds me of the pastor, I don't know how long ago, on social media, who says, oh, I'm going to walk on water, and he jumped off a bridge and drowned.
Gosh.
You know? So if God ain't sent you there, then
Or be like, was it the seven sons of
Yay.
You know?
Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you?
You hand out a track, and then the next thing, someone's pouncing on
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
You don't want to end up in that. So if you know the Lord has set you in that place where you're currently working, and you know, there's witches and all of this and that, you know, keep seeking the Lord, seek the Holy Spirit, and ask him each day what he wants you to do. What's your take, Pastor?
I absolutely believe that. I do. I absolutely do. You know, scripture says, obviously, as you know, 1 John, I believe it is, that we should test every spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's really, really important. And when we get ourselves to a place where we're discerning and we're picking up the vibe that, something's off here, you know, it is important that we find a place to stand. We need to take our own stand.
Mm.
I think these days, I don't know why. I don't. Maybe it's a majority thing. I think as Christians, we're not as bold as we used to be, and we generally, you know, are not as bold as we used to be. I think that there used to be a lot more boldness within Christianity, where we could literally just, hey, listen, this is it. Sorry, too bad. You know, you don't have to like me, whatever. Now there seems to be this need, this desire to conform and to be part of the pack and part of the crew, part of the crowd. But we're called to, as Christians, invariably to step up and step out and stand out, you know, from the rest of the world, to not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Renewal of our mind, to be standalone, stand out people within our places and spaces. And I think it's really, really important. I want to read that text that says, you know, weigh everything. I want to read it from the Message.
Yeah.
It says, dear friends, don't believe everything you hear. Wait and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. And I want to pause there for a moment. And this, it reminds me of the text in Corinthians. You know, I paraphrase that text by saying, doing the right thing is not always the right thing to do. And the text says everything is lawful, but not always expedient or permissible or permitted. Says not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers and people loose in the world. So here's how you test for the genuine Spirit of God. Everyone who confesses openly their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came as an actual flesh and blood person, comes from God and belongs to God. And everyone who refuses to confess faith in Jesus has nothing in common with God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist that you heard was coming. Well, here it is, sooner than we thought. And I think it is that spirit of deception where people talk a God talk. They'll even quote scripture. You know, and I said to him, listen, are you kidding me? Satan quoted scripture to Jesus. You know, the demons know the word. Do you understand? The Bible tells us that. They know the scriptures. So people will quote scripture and go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And that's it from naively down there. There's a saying I've said this many times on this show over the 4 years we've been doing this. It's in the Yoruba language that if you look for what you shouldn't look for, you'll end up finding what you shouldn't find. You know? And so we sometimes where there's this insatiable hunger. It's like, I don't care. I'll take anything. We're desperate to be filled. And that's when we become victims to the deception.
Yeah, we fall for it. So you've got to be prepared to stand for Christ. Otherwise, you fall for everything that comes your way or seems fashionable on social media. And, you know, there are various... you know, like in the book of Leviticus, you know, God talks about, you know, avoiding mediums and spiritists, avoiding wicked customs, as it says in Deuteronomy.
But even, you know, again, I want to just reinforce this message. Remember the girl, the girl that was speaking with the divining spirit
in Acts 16.
Who was she? Was that was Paul and not Paul?
Paul and Silas.
Yeah, it was Paul and Silas, right? Paul and Silas. Now, hold on. Was anything she said a lie?
No, she was speaking truth. That's the thing.
But
it was the spirit behind
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, it was the spirit behind it. And that's the key thing. And I think the critical... So the question, I suppose, in many in our minds is, so how do we then know? Is to develop our own spirit of discernment, the gift of discernment. And if you're not sure, go ask somebody who is of God, knows God, confesses Christ. Someone that you know is more mature, more spiritually, greater spiritual understanding than you. Submit it to someone. Get godly counsel over the situation.
Exactly. Yes. Because even in Ezekiel, it says, you know, others can use... I say others, you know, that even so-called prophets, you know, the false prophets can use divination saying the Lord says and he didn't say.
Yeah.
You know, that's a form of witchcraft.
Yeah.
You know, so and just because, you know, someone might be, you know, okay, they call themselves a medium, witch, whatever they call themselves, and they're wearing a cross or they put a cross on their door or whatever. It don't mean, you know,
Jack.
Unless, like what you said in that scripture, you know, unless they confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, they believe that he rose, he died, and he's coming again. You know, it says it clearly, even in the book of Romans, you know, the confession of your mouth, you know, unless they confess and they mean it with their heart well. Because again, you can just read off something, but there's no... substance.
Belief.
And you will know them by the fruit, the Lord says, you know. So they can be saying all these things, but at the same time, what are they putting their trust in? You know, if they're saying, oh yeah, I believe in God, oh yeah, yeah, Jesus Christ, oh yeah, and the spirit,
spirit
the
told
spirit
me that
in it. No,
or my spirit told me that.
Yeah.
Whoa, really?
But still, they're carrying on with crystals, putting in crystals in their bra and all this malarkey, coming with their potions and staging all over the place. You know, no. These are the things that you've got to look for.
And I think this is critical. It's really, really important that we reinforce this.
Mm.
Again, it's about this innate hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we do these things? Why do we go for tarot readings? Why do we check our horoscopes? There's a hunger to know, our desire to be filled, to know. And it's the hunger to know, honestly, that caused the fall in the garden.
Yeah.
The hunger, there's a hunger. Mm-hmm. Beyond who we are, you know, God's created us with curiosity, and there's nothing wrong with curiosity. Mm. But you know what? Accelerator without brakes is an accident waiting to happen. Temper yourself. Yeah. Cover your brakes. It's true. You know, cover your brakes. Know your limits.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not all about you. And there are some things we will never truly, truly know.
No.
Only
exactly.
You know, people say, but I want to know. But you're not God. If God tried to explain it to you, your brain doesn't have the capacity to even grasp and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, our walk is by faith. You know, mm-hmm. it's not by sight.
Yeah. Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:3-4 says the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they will, you know, look for doctrine that suits their own desires, mm-hmm. that satisfies their itchy ears.
Mm-hmm.
They'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we're doing is haven't you noticed sometimes people pick and choose the pastors they listen to,
mm-hmm.
the sermons they listen to. Yeah. Oh, I like ...
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. They're like, bang.
Mm.
And someone that says, you need to stop sinning, they're like, yeah, it's okay, but no, I like this one.
Mm.
Because, you know, Creflo Dollar said many years ago, he said, we're goosebumps junkies.
Mm.
We want to feel the goosebumps. We want to feel the, oh my gosh, that made me feel so amazing. Mm. You know, and sometimes God just wants to turn the back of our with heads us. And reset. You know, he wants to hit the reset button.
Bring the whips out.
Mm. You know, and scripture says here in 2 Timothy, it says they people that want this, they turn their ears away from the truths and turn aside to myths.
Yeah.
And what we're saying about culture and tradition,
mm-hmm.
and those myths of it works, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And also, we have to remember, you know, God has required us, you know, in terms of what we should do going forward, God has required us not to have other gods before him.
He's a jealous God.
He's very jealous.
We forget that, you know. Oh, God is love. He's loving, he's gracious, he's compassionate, he's kind. He is a jealous God.
Yeah. And he's jealous over his people.
Have we ever experienced jealousy?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When someone's jealous.
Yes.
And that they call it the green-eyed monster. God mm-hmm. is the ultimate green-eyed monster over us.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is us, you know, there's this thing
mm-hmm.
Where they say, you know, Nigerians were really just wonderful, wonderfully creative,
okay.
crazily creative
okay.
people. But
okay.
there's a phrase, you know, some quarters, particularly the Pentecostal type quarters, say this phrase. I say, you know, well, let's pray that God will trouble your troubler. And one day I put it on social media. People pray that God will trouble your troubler. What if you're the person troubling yourself? You know, because sometimes we trouble ourselves.
It's true. We bring trouble on ourselves.
Yeah. So what's God going to do there? Who's he going to trouble? God will trouble your troubler. Hello? That troubler could be me. You know, and this is the issue. And sometimes, you know, God's jealous. And if we're the ones trying to take us from God, he's going to come against that.
Yeah.
And he's not coming nice.
No. No. He's coming to correct. So remember, we have the Holy Spirit. Okay, the
yep.
Holy Spirit is our helper. He's the Spirit of truth, and he will tell us things to come. So, you know, you don't need to go to a medium or whoever to seek your fortune or what your future is. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. And it's remembering to be patient, understand, and know that God has a plan for us. And one last thing, read Isaiah chapter 46, because it talks about what God has done for us in the past. He alone can only tell us what is in our future.
Wow. we're done. Time up.
Yes.
Once again, time has completely flown. Listen, time we want to say thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Please do join us again on the Being Mindful show. We would thank you for your comments. Thank you for your contribution.
Mm.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for, you know, I can see different cities and different countries connected to the show. As we always say at the end of every show, remember to be mindful of yourselves and each other. God bless you.
God bless you.